Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Tuesday, October 16th, 2018, episode 14.09, the NFL Week 7 show. And then there was one. The Rams are the lone undefeated team in the NFL as the Chiefs lost a heartbreaker in the final seconds on the road against the evil empire. The Cowboys found their offense. The Bears lost to Brocktober in Miami again. The Packers lost their defense but won the game. And a partridge in a pear tree. That's right, folks. Just 70 days until Christmas. Oops, wrong show. Sorry about that. Back to football. I'll bring you an epic rant on the idiotic thing that is called the DirecTV NFL blackout policy. And even though the Chiefs lost, they did cover the 3.5 points, bringing my lock to total to 4-2 on the season. I've got another good one this week. Plus, Steve, Lady Edith, and I will bring you all our picks for Week 7. So let's get it started and chomp it in. Bringing American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda and Steve Fry with NFL Rants and Raves.
Oh, man, this Brocktober thing, Steve, let me tell you something that I don't think a lot of people know that listen to the show. And once again, wherever you are in this great world of R and however you are consuming this podcast, thank you very much for listening to NFL Rants and Raves. Here we go. Brock Osweiler gets the start for the Miami Dolphins in place of an injured Ryan Tannehill. Brock Osweiler has also started games for two other teams, and both times for the Denver Broncos and the Houston Texans, just like he did this past weekend for the Miami Dolphins. His first start for those franchises were, guess against who? The Chicago Bears. He won when he started his first start as a Denver Bronco for the Chicago and beat the Chicago Bears in Denver. He won beating the Chicago Bears when he made his first start for the Houston Texans. And, of course, this weekend, out of nowhere, nobody expected it, Brock Osweiler gets the start for the Miami Dolphins and defeats the mighty defense that was the Chicago Bears, threw all over the field against them for three times. In the span of his entire NFL career, he has started for three different teams, and that first start was against the Chicago Bears, and he won all three games. Brock owns the Chicago Bears. He owns them.
What was the line on that game?
That is a very good question. I do not know. I think Miami was favorite, but barely. I think they were – no, as a matter of fact, Chicago was favored by 2.5, I believe. The Miami were home dogs.
That's where it was a shock.
No, I can't, because who in the world thought that Brock Osweiler was going to do that to the Bears? I mean, he threw what did he throw for? I don't know, it was something crazy. The thing is, the Bears somehow got back into that game. They went to overtime. In overtime, Brock Osweiler not drove the field not once, but twice. Once he gets them to within the 1 yard line, and Kenyon, the running back Drake, fumbles at the 1 yard line, is recovered by Chicago in the end zone. And after Parkey, the Bears kicker, misses his field goal attempt, Osweiler leads him down the field again and puts him in field goal range. And this time they kick the field goal and win the game in OT 31-28. To beat the Chicago Bears with that vaunted defense that have been playing great defense this whole season. What is it with Osweiler and playing against Chicago?
You know, and then we get a stat like that where he's 3-0 now. So you know the next time we're all going to quote how he's 3-0 and then he'll lose to the Bears.
All right. I just like how everybody in the media started calling him Brocktober, because I guess because it's October and his name's Brock and you got Ox, so it's October. I don't know. But
look, if you don't have a nickname for somebody, yeah, what's the point of talking about
Brocktober Osweiler.
Right?
Here's an even crazier thing about this tech, okay? All three teams, the Broncos, the Texans,
and the Miami Dolphins are all in the AFC, which means they only play Chicago once every 4 years. Yet he has managed to be with the team the year they play them and has beat them all three times. So the next thing is he goes to another AFC team in a couple years. They get to play Chicago. Guess who they're going to start? I don't care if you are the Kansas City Chiefs and your starter is Patrick Mahomes. If you got Brock Osweiler as your backup and you're scheduled to play the Chicago Bears, start Brock.
If Brock is on your practice squad that week, you're bringing him up for 1 week.
Just
and
for
putting
one
him back.
Week, go play against the Bears because somehow he does a good job with that. All right, moving on. Here we go again, Steve. The Pittsburgh Steelers, now they are saying, oh, my God, that they don't expect Le'Veon Bell to report to camp this or to report to the Steelers this week. Because it's week 7. They're on a bye week. Everybody said that, you know, Le'Veon was going to, you know, report week 7 and he'd get the bye week to kind of get acclimated and then he'd be ready for week 8. And now the Steelers are saying they're not seeing that's going to happen. We all know that's not going to. He's not coming till week 11. There is a date where he has to show up for this season to count. Bell pretty much knows, look, I'm not going to let you run me 350 times and possibility of me to get hurt and there goes my future. I'm going to show up week 11. I'm probably going to have a pinky finger injury week 12. And I'm just going to get paid, be on your injury report, and then at the end of the season, let's talk about whether you're either going to let me go or you're going to give me some money.
Oh, without question, if he comes back before week 11, he's going to have some soft tissue injury that's going to prevent him from running.
So,
you know, something the doctors can't really pinpoint to on an X-ray or something.
Can we just tell this to the Pittsburgh Steelers? Just stop reporting stuff about Le'Veon Bell until he actually shows up.
Are they missing him?
No.
They don't appear to be missing him.
Look like it. They're right that they were able to beat the division leaders, the Cincinnati Bengals. They beat them this week. Somehow, magically.
Yes.
One of the games you got right that I got wrong, by the way.
Yes, that's probably the only game I got
right.
Well,
we split right down the middle. I was very interested. We differed on 6 games. You got 3 right. I got 3 right. I just want to point out, Steve, that the 3 I got right were all blowouts. All right? Cowboys blew out the Jags. Ravens blew out the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, okay. Oh, stop right there on the Cowboys. How many people in our Pick'em League agreed that the Cowboys were even going to win that game? There were like 5 of you.
But still, we were the right 5, right?
You got it right. I'm not going to dispute that, but come on. It's not like I was out on a ledge there saying, well, you know, the Jaguars are going
to
upset the Cowboys or something. No. Everybody expected that to go with the Jaguars.
A lot of people do. Let's just put it that way. A lot of people did. And then of course, the challenge game where you took the Giants. I still, to this day, don't understand where that was coming from. And that was kind of a bum.
It was a gut call. Come on.
But
we're allowed to have those.
The 3 games where I missed – Cincinnati-Pittsburgh went to the wire. That game was won in the final seconds of the game. El juego gigante estupendo de la semana, Chiefs-Patriots, went to the wire. That game was decided on a field goal in the final seconds of the
game. That was a good
game. And then even Jets-Colts was a one-score game. It was 8 points. I was so angry because I was like, seriously, those 3 games could have gone either way. And I was really most angry at the Patriots finding a way to pull out that game. Speaking of the Patriots, though, I want to give them – oh, I still didn't – okay. Mental note, I'm doing it live on air. Fix your sound card so that you have your clapping sound. But for now, I'm just going to do this. I want to throw a shout-out to the New England Patriots. You're doing what? That's right, a shout-out to the New England Patriots.
Have you done one of these?
A mini rave to the Patriots.
A shout out to
the
Patriots.
I'm not sure, but I'm doing it. So during the game between the Chiefs and the Patriots, epic game, Tyreek Hill broke out for a touchdown, ran all the way in the end zone, scored a touchdown. And besides being greeted by a bunch of middle fingers, because those Boston fans, oh so classy, one of them decided to throw a beer at him. Well, the New England Patriots have stepped up, and they have banned that fan from Gillette Stadium. Not just for Patriots games, but for any event at Gillette Stadium. They released this statement: Gillette Stadium security has identified the fan who violated the fan code of conduct by tossing beer onto a player during the game last night. The matter has been turned over to local law enforcement, and the fan will be sent a letter of disinvite to all future events at Gillette Stadium. I mean, you got to give it up, because you had the video, you had the surveillance. Your security team is able to say, okay, we know who this guy is, we know where he was seated, we can identify him clearly. He was the culprit. Not only have we turned it over to law enforcement because Tyreek and his agent and his lawyer are thinking about pressing charges. I don't know if they will or not, but they've at least publicly come out and said they may. They've basically just told this dude, you're done at Gillette. You're never coming back. And I think that is good, because had Tyreek retaliated, guess who was going to be the bad guy and guess who was going to be held responsible?
Right, yep.
It would have been Tyreek. It is time that a team identify fans who think that, hey, man, I paid $200 for this ticket. I could throw stuff at players. I could be disrespectful to players. I could do what this fan did to players, and they've identified them and they've taken care of business. I personally
look, as a Packer fan, my only issue is how many Packers have had beer dumped on them
accidentally, right? They jumped into the stands as the Lambeau leap.
They're going into their own stands, being dumped beer by their own fans accidentally. But it still holds true. How many Packers have had beer dumped on them in the
tons,
game?
Tons. But this was not on purpose. This was purposefully thrown.
I know. I'm having fun.
Know,
come on.
I know. Yeah, you are having fun. I like that, though. I like the Lambeau leap. And had Tyreek jumped in, because look, he went pretty close to the stands. Had he jumped into the stands, then that's on you.
He was ready to.
You're going
to
get all the punches and everything.
But yeah,
that's on you. He didn't. He was still in the field. And at that point, as fans, you got to lay off. You don't have any rights whatsoever to throw stuff at players. So, but the Patriots did this. I was very happy to see that. So I'm going to give them a shout out. And
I was a little concerned on where you were going with it, but I have to agree. Good job for the Patriots for taking care of business.
Well, where did you think I was going? It's a legitimate acknowledgement that they did something good.
You didn't warn me about where we were going with this, so I wasn't sure. So
read the thing. Oh, I didn't write.
Yeah, it's there. But you're asking me to read, which we all know that's not going to happen. So.
There you go. So Steve is in Park City, right?
I am in Park City.
Is that Utah?
It's a little. It is in Utah. It's a little colder than the last time. There's this white stuff on the ground, and I'm not sure you're familiar with it. It's called snow.
Snow.
Snow. SNOW.
That's what they call snow up there. Snow.
I found a website that I think is a conspiracy website called Weather Underground that explains that it falls from the sky when the temperature gets below 32 degrees Fahrenheit. Since I don't know the last time I've seen a thermometer go that low, I'm pretty sure it is just a conspiracy theory.
Am I to understand that a guy from Wisconsin has been acclimated so much to Southern California weather that he doesn't even know what snow is?
That yes, we'll go with that excuse. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Trust me, I don't miss that time of year in Wisconsin.
So Trisha and I,
there's a reason why we are diehard LA residents.
Right. You're not going back? No going back to Wisconsin?
Yeah, we're not Dodgers fans, we're not Rams fans, we're Brewers fans, we're Packers fans. But we can drive to snow in LA. We're not going to live in it and have to shovel my driveway and everything else.
I would not do that. All right. Finally, you know, once again, this seems like, you know, 2 weeks in a row now. We're going to take some time, have a moment of silence. The Seattle Seahawks lost their owner, Paul Allen, passed away yesterday at the age of 65, co-founder of Microsoft. And there were a plethora of players and coaches People basically who just came out to social media the other day to express their condolences, and we express our condolences to the entire Allen family and the entire Seattle Seahawks organization. So we'll take a moment of silence for him now. All right. So there you go, man. 2 weeks in a row that the NFL has lost a couple owners. Pretty interesting there. And sad at the same time. Allen died of complications from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. The family released a statement. Owned a lot of teams, right? He owned a soccer team, I think, as well, up there in Seattle area, as well as the Trailblazers.
Trailblazers.
So, oh, man. Sad news.
And he had, doesn't matter. I've seen his yacht. He's got a very small yacht that probably is bigger than our houses combined on one level.
Okay, man. So the NFL obviously had some statements. And you know what? Once again, I could probably give another shout out and rave to the New England Patriots, because they were one of the first ones to release a statement regarding the passing of Paul Allen. So we're going to move on. But before we get to our pick, Steve, I've got a rant, and it's a good one.
Are you ready? All right, let's hear it.
Rant time! Okay, so we all know that for a long time, the National Football League had this blackout policy that if 85% of the stadium was not sold out prior to the Friday of a home game, 72 hours before the start time of the game, that the television station carrying the game could not show it locally in that market for that team. Now, in around 2014, the NFL put a stop to it. Not complete stop, but they basically said, look, we understand. This is pretty crazy. We live in a different time now. Not everybody's going to want to go to the game. Blackout policy is a little silly. Since 2005, they kind of suspended that policy. And it's now at the beginning of every year, they kind of look at it and they say, okay, is this a year? Is our attendance down so much that we need to, put the blackout policy back in effect? It hasn't been in effect, and it's not in effect this year. But they have a contract with DirecTV for NFL Sunday Ticket. A bunch of us pay a whole heck of a lot of money for that package. And basically what that package is, you get to watch every out-of-market game on DirecTV in your package. So every out-of-market. So for us in Los Angeles, now that we have two teams, we basically are never going to see the Los Angeles Rams and the Los Angeles Chargers on NFL Sunday Ticket. I get that. They're shown locally. I go to my local channel. I'm good with that. Here's my problem. Sunday morning, I go to Fox. Fox doesn't have a morning game. They're not showing a game at all because CBS has the doubleheader that day. And Fox wants to show its game of America's Game of the Week on the afternoon game. Now, I know CBS afternoon game is Jacksonville versus Cowboys. I'm good with that. In the morning, they decide to show our local team, the Los Angeles Chargers, playing the Browns. I'm interested in that game. I want to see how the Browns are going to play the Chargers. Good game to watch. So I go to my DirecTV NFL Sunday Ticket. I'm looking to see that London game because I want to see my mates from overseas across the pond. A lot of people listening to the show. I want to see how Wembley looks. I miss it. I haven't been there in a few years. I used to go every year. Since the beginning of the international series, I'm going to watch the stadium. I'm going to watch the Seahawks and the Raiders. Flick it. Give it to me, DirecTV. This game is blacked out due to NFL policy. And I'm like, what policy is that? Okay, so I start searching, and I go to DirecTV's thing website, and they say, our agreement with sports leagues and associations restrict us from showing events near where a game is being played or broadcast locally. So let's just take that statement. The game's in London, man. It's across the freaking ocean in another country. So I'm not near the game. Is it being broadcast locally? No, I just told you, Fox not showing a game. They decided not to show a local game that day. So, in other situations, national networks like ESPN and TNT have exclusive distribution rights to some events. Well, let's check that statement out. ESPN and TNT or TBS or anybody else doesn't have that game. It is on Fox. That's it. Fox has that game, but once again, they've decided not to show it in Los Angeles. So in its essence, DirecTV's policy about blacking out games doesn't meet any qualifications for Seahawks Raiders from London. So I go even further because I need to – somebody's got to tell me. I'm tweeting about this, by the way, left and right, at DirecTV,
yes,
at NFL,
yep.
Anybody who will listen to me, anybody who's agreeing me, everybody who's retweeting all my stuff because I'm going crazy – I want to see what's happening at Wembley. I got some friends there. I know some people are watching the game live. I want to check it out. So, their next statement. Blacked out games on NFL Sunday Ticket. In general, you receive all games outside your local market, unless your local Fox or CBS station shows the game in your area. Once again,
they're not
showing the game locally. And the game is outside my local market because, one, it doesn't have a local team. It's not Rams or Chargers. And, two, they're not even in my local market. A regular season Sunday afternoon home game could also be blacked out in the home team's territory if the game fails to sell out 72 hours before. Well, we just said the NFL is not using that policy anymore. And, by the way, it's not an NFL local home team. So what in the world is DirecTV doing holding Seahawks Raiders from everybody in Los Angeles because of what? There's no reason in any one of their policies that I couldn't have watched that game. Now, I thank them because the game turned out to be horrible. It was a 27-3 beatdown of the Oakland Raiders. What the hell is going on in Oakland, by the way? That's another rant for another time.
We'll get there.
But the fact that I couldn't watch a minute of that game is ridiculous, and that is a problem. The NFL, look, I get it. It's your property. You guard it. You love it. You have your agreements with all of these different people, and you got Yahoo showing, you know, 11 Thursday night football games, and you got Fox showing NFL football games, and NFL Network is showing the football games, and of course you've got CBS and ESPN doing your Monday night football game. I get it. You are in bed with a lot of people because a lot of people are giving you a whole heck of a lot of money to show the games, and you have to protect your baby. But there is no reason when you're paying $356 a year to get as many out-of-market games from the National Football League with DirecTV and this NFL Sunday Ticket package that you black out an international series game, which you claim is great because you want to put a team possibly overseas in Europe, but you're not even letting me see the game that's being played in Europe because of whatever reason you've told DirecTV they can't show this game in their NFL Sunday Ticket package? That makes no sense, man. Change it. Change it now or forever lose me as a customer, DirecTV. All right, I'm done.
But there aren't any better options out there. That's the problem.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And that's
right now DirecTV is the only option to get so like and not like everybody has options there, but so Major League Baseball has their package, MLB right. package. And it's great. I mean, you can sign up for a single team, you can sign up for audio only, you can sign up for the whole league. And same thing. It's as long as it's out of market, you can see the game. But right now, DirecTV is the only game in town. I mean, they're pushing this Game
right.
Pass, but domestically, I mean, for those of you in Europe, you get a great package. You get what we get in the MLB package. It streams every game. You can get every game locally that's not shown on local broadcast. But here in the States, all we get
right.
is the replays. And they're having a hard time pushing this product out here because, I mean, if you want football,
I want the live game.
You're finding a way,
Right. You're paying for the Sunday ticket. You're watching the live game. You're doing the setup, Stephen, that you have in your house where you've got six different TVs and computer monitors and everything watching everything.
I had a great time. But the only game I could not get on was Seahawks Raiders. And that's one of the ones I actually wanted.
So until that DirecTV contract expires, there's really no renegotiating.
I actually thought about suing DirecTV and the NFL for this monopoly that they have. And I went to some attorneys, and basically because of a rule or a law that the NFL got pushed through back in the 70s, you cannot sue the NFL for this. Because
– well, what would you sue them for?
They've created a monopoly with DirecTV. If you want to get their product, theoretically, the only way you can get it is through DirecTV. If you want to do it legally and you want to pay money – to watch their product the way we do, the only company you can go to is DirecTV, and that's a monopoly. There's one company who holds all of these games. That's it. And they looked at it, but there's a rule that got passed in the 70s that a lot of the sports league helped push through Congress, is that basically a sports league cannot be sued as a monopoly in terms of how it distributes its product. And basically attorneys were like, until we can find a way to get around that law, you they're untouchable. Isn't that crazy?
All right, so if you've got a movie that's distributed by Disney, and Disney, after putting it out through theaters, Disney keeps it only available through their own distribution model. Can you sue them?
What, so the only place I could buy it is through them? Or through whatever?
Right.
I don't know. Possibly. Because I can't get it. I can't get it anywhere else.
They own the rights to that product. So they can distribute it however they want.
Correct. But that's usually through multiple through multiple sources. Right? I can get it from Target. I can get it from Walmart. I can get it from Amazon.com. I can get it from a whole bunch of different places. And all of these places, with their relationship with Disney, have different prices for the movie. Now, if Disney just decided that, okay, we are just going to partner with Amazon, and the only place you can buy this movie is Amazon.com, yes, we could sue them. Because they've allowed Amazon to have a monopoly on Disney movies. Right?
Okay.
I mean, that's the only place you can go to.
I don't agree, but okay.
I don't agree. Yeah,
I'm also not a lawyer, so let's take that with a grain of salt.
But you did sleep at a Holiday Inn Express last night, right? Isn't that the commercial? Yeah. So
yes.
Anyways. No, I don't know where you said it is. Actually. I'm just throwing that out there. All right, too much fun. But anyways, all to say, DirecTV, we spend far too much money for you to black out games that are not being shown locally. All righty then. Let's get to some picks, Steve. How about it? Unless you decided while I was talking that you have a rant or a rave this week. You're playing it cool.
I've got nothing this week.
Playing it cool this week. All right. Well, let's get to it. Week 7 picks. We'll start with El Juego Grande. Oh, wait a minute. Timeout. Scratch that. Rewind.
Freaking idiot.
Sorry, that was me. El Juego Gigante Estupendo de la Semana. All right, the big, giant, gay, stupendous game of the week. And we go to Baltimore this week, where the 4-2 Baltimore Ravens host the New Orleans Saints at 4-1, coming off a bye. Steve, I'm just going to go first, and I want to tell you right now, right here, this is going to bring up my lock of the week. Now, for the lock of the week, as I said, I'm 4-2. I'm looking to go 5-2 on the season. I thought hard and long about the over-under in the Dallas-Washington game because it's set at 41. And I think those two teams have found offensively a groove. They're going to be scoring more than 41 points in that football game. All right? And I thought, you know, over 41, Dallas-Washington, that's where we want to go. But I want a lock. I want a solid one. I want to improve to 5-2. So I am looking at the New Orleans Saints. They are dogs in this game. Dogs by 2.5. Which means Baltimore has to be a favorite by, they have to win by a field goal. Now, I'm not taking anything about the Baltimore Ravens. They're 4-2 and they're at home, and I get it. But the Saints are putting up a bunch of points. They are well rested. They're coming off a bye week. Now, call me crazy. That's where you call me crazy.
I'll call you crazy. Yeah, are you crazy? Bit.
But I think Drew Brees is going to go in there and have his way with this defense. I think they got spoiled this past week playing Tennessee and shutting them out 21-0. It's going to be a different ball game when you got all the weapons that the Saints have with Kamara and Ingram, and you got, you know, the wide receivers all over the place, and Drew Brees throwing the ball over around the place. I just don't see how Baltimore wins the football game, much less wins by a field goal. This is my lock of the week. Take the 2.5 points and take the Saints for easy money because they are going to win the game outright. I got New Orleans, and that's my lock of the week.
What's the over-under on this one?
That is a good question. If you give me a second, I can tell you right now. In the Ravens-Saints game, the over-under is 49.5. So they're expecting almost 50 points in this game. 50. And I don't...
Do they – I mean, is it going to be tight enough to go to overtime? I mean, I don't know. I think it's going to be a tight one, but there's nothing you said that I disagree with. I think Breeze is by far the better quarterback between the two. Not saying Flacco is bad by any stretch.
He's not Drew Brees.
Right. So I agree with you. Saints pull this one out. Definitely cover that spread. Definitely win the
game.
All
right. Lady Edith, as well, has decided that she also likes the New Orleans Saints. And I believe that makes it a straight 5.
6.
They've only played – they were on a bye last week, so.
Well, this is the sixth time she's had the opportunity to play, pick them. So.
Don't listen to me. I don't know what I'm talking about. So we all across the board are on the Saints for a –
counting, reading, we don't do these things. Come on.
He got this stupendo de la semana. We've all got the Saints over the Ravens. Look, I think the Ravens will do fine in their division, but I think right now the strength of the teams in the NFL is definitely in the NFC side. I think they're going to get rudely awoken up here by the New Orleans Saints. So we are all taking the Saints. Let's move on to games of the week. We'll start right here in our backyard in Los Angeles, as the Los Angeles Chargers host the Tennessee Titans. What do you see? What do you see?
You know, that Chargers defense still looks pretty good. They kept Baker Mayfield last week off balance all day. Baker made some good throws. Not that I'm breaking down the Browns here, but he made some good throws. But as soon as he was rushed, he couldn't get anything done, and the Chargers just... they kept that secondary. They kept the receivers covered, kept him under pressure. I see him doing the same thing against Tennessee. This game's in London, of all places.
Another London game.
So
early. And this is an early, early game. This is the one where you're going to have, if you're in Los Angeles, have to wake up at 6:30 in the morning to watch. I don't want to watch this game that much, by the way. I'm not going to wake up at 6:30. But,
no.
You know, whenever.
No, I'll look for the
whenever
line.
Whenever I wake up around, you know, 8:30, I'll turn it on, see what's going on.
I just don't see the Titans being able to take on the Chargers.
They just got blanked.
Rivers.
They just got blanked.
Rivers, Gordon. I mean, what do we have? Three touchdown games by Gordon?
I think this is the second this season. Yeah.
This season, right. So their rushing game is doing quite well. And Rivers is Rivers. I mean, he's you know, he's not necessarily great, but he's not going to make mistakes either.
He's silently having a pretty great year right now. He certainly is in sync with all of his guys. So I like the Chargers in this one. I don't see how Tennessee goes on the road, but like real road, hitting the road all the way to London. And finding a way to stop the Chargers and Phillip Rivers right now, especially Gordon. Man, that dude is showing he is a beast. But he is really, you know, Williams and Keenan Allen. Phillip Rivers is on target with all of these guys right now. The Chargers are looking for a team. Hey, and quietly, look, the Chargers have 2 losses. They're 4-2. Do you know what the record is of the 2 teams they've lost to? 11-1.
Yeah, it was the Raiders and Chiefs.
The Rams. The Rams.
The Rams. Yeah. Rams and Chiefs. That other West Coast team with an R. At the
so that's not too.
You know, the one that's 6-0, not 1-5.
Shabby. That's not too shabby. So keep your eyes on the Chargers. Lady Edith also has the Chargers. That puts us all on the Chargers. Oh my God, are we going to disagree at all this year when we're all on the same page?
I'm sure we can find a couple.
Next up, the New England Patriots travel to Chicago to face the Bears. What you got here, Steve? Oh. He's thinking about it.
You know, that Bears pass rush still looks good. I just don't think they're going to get the offensive production out of Trubisky that they've been getting against New England of all teams.
It's going to be tough for the Bears to put up offense. The way to beat the Patriots, and I am 100% convinced of this watching this game this past Sunday Night Football against the Kansas City Chiefs. You got to get to Brady. You got to get to Brady fast, and you got to make Brady know that you are there. You got to hit him. The fact that Kansas City, and I think their downfall was they lost that game because on defense they lost their best defensive players, their best defensive pass rushers, I should say. Their pass rushers just didn't really get to Brady, didn't really harass him enough. I think the way the Bears win this football game is if they harass Tom Brady. I think Khalil Mack will deal early. I don't think they'll be able to do it late. And so I think the Patriots win this football game.
So what the Bears wins, if I'm not mistaken, are against the Cardinals, the Bucks, and the Dolphins.
No, they lost to the Dolphins. Who did they beat? That's a good question. Yeah.
I don't know.
I know what you're saying.
But so they were close with the Dolphins. They didn't blow out the Dolphins by any stretch. Their defense didn't hold the Dolphins back from winning that game. I don't think New England is going to be as easy to hold back as the Cardinals or the Dolphins. The Bucks in those first couple weeks were really, really good. But they've definitely fallen off. They lost 4 in a row now. So Patriots aren't going to be as easy to hold back. They're going to get to Brady early, but Brady's going to adjust. They're going to make that adjustment. They're going to negate that pass rush, and you're going to see New England pull away from the Bears.
Seahawks, Bucks, and Cardinals, and they just barely beat the Cardinals 16-14. So it's not like they've beaten offensive juggernauts. Such as they're going to face against the Patriots.
And without question, they found an offense. The Bears have definitely found an offense in the last 2 weeks that they didn't have in some of those earlier games. So this could be a shootout. But I still think that even in a shootout, if it goes that way, New England pulls this one out.
You're saying look at the over 49?
I don't know that it can be. I mean, it could easily be a shootout, but it could easily be a 16-9 game. I mean, it could be a low-scoring game, too.
The over for Patriots-Chiefs Sunday night was 50, and they
hit it at halftime, didn't they?
That. I mean, it wasn't even funny. So, okay. Surprise, surprise. Ladies, likes Trubisky and the Bears.
That one I can't quite figure out.
No,
but
there you go.
I guess I'm happy she's not picking the Patriots.
So,
if she's going to find favorite teams, I'm okay with the Saints. I'm okay with the Cowboys.
Patriots, not so much.
I'm still not sure. She hasn't picked the Bears frequently enough to me to be concerned that she's picking the Bears.
All right. So, there you go. Lady Edith on her own there against the Bears. Steve and I have the Patriots. Moving on to the city of brotherly love where the Philadelphia Eagles face the Carolina Panthers. All right. So, look, the Carolina Panthers kind of struggled a bit against the Washington Redskins, a game which I thought they should have won. Philadelphia Eagles handled the Giants pretty easily. But I don't know. I think
– But it's the Giants.
Yeah, it was the Giants. And at the beginning of the game, the Eagles struggled a little bit. It wasn't until late where they kind of pulled away in that football game. I think the Panthers get it together enough, and I think Cam Newton's going to pose enough of a threat to take on the Eagles. I've got Carolina in this game over Philly.
So the line on this is what, 4.5
I think the Eagles are favorite by 4.5. Yes, 4.5.
I think it's a close game. I think Philly does pull this one out, but I wouldn't be confident in them covering that spread.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be a field goal game one way or the other. I don't think any team's going to is capable right now of blowing out the other. I think outright Carolina's going to find it. Look, they need to in the division where they are. Unless they want to see the Saints run away with this thing, they're going to have to get this win. They're going to have to find a way to do it. And just I've not seen enough consistency from the Philadelphia Eagles to think that they're going to win this game. I'm going to go with Carolina.
All right. You got Carolina. And I got the Eagles. And Lady Edith is with
Carolina
as well.
Panthers. So there you go. There's the first different game.
Second.
That you and I. Yes.
Oh, that you and I. Yeah.
Because you have to pick a challenge game again. So there's the
first
one.
Yeah.
All right.
Glad you waited a half hour into the show to point that out.
That's funny. moving to our nation's capital where the Washington Redskins host the Dallas Cowboys. Man, divisional game. These two teams hate each other. Redskins, Cowboys. Cowboys, Redskins. Seriously, I always used to tell my girls, the Cowboys can go 2-14 every year as long as the two wins are against the Washington Redskins. Because that's how much we despise them. But I think, you know, with the Cowboys, they're not going to score 40 points every week. They're just not going to. And my advice is to whatever it is you're doing at home and that home cooking, whatever it is you're eating, pack it up, put it in a bag, take it with you to Washington, and eat the same thing. Because at home, they have been on point and on fire. They've struggled on the road. So this is going to be the test for the Cowboys. Can you take what you've done at home and do it on the road? I think they will find a way. I think Dak's getting a little bit more comfortable. I think that Linehan knows, hey, I'm going to have to use more Dak running the football. I think he's going to keep that in. I think he's had the problem was when they've gone on the road, he has not allowed Dak to use his legs. I think Dak needs to be more mobile, get him out of the pocket. He's not quite at the point where he just needs to be a pocket passer. He needs to move. He needs options. If they do that, they'll take care of the Redskins with no problem. I got Dallas.
So, with Washington, didn't AP, wasn't he like their only offense last week?
Just about. A banged up,
I mean, I want to say the whole team had like 35 rushing yards, and he had, you know, it was
he had
something
more than
crazy.
Double.
I can't remember the stats. But
98 yards rushing.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's clearly he's very good. He's still very good.
I don't know who.
But how much is Washington a one-trick pony?
Yeah, I think the.
You know, if you can stop AP, do you stop Washington?
I think what's not being talked about here by a lot of people, not just us, but by a lot of people, is that this Dallas Cowboy defense is pretty good. They are really coming to their own. Last year and seasons before, when Sean Lee misses games, they are awful, and they get run on by everybody. Sean Lee's missed the last two games. They're not running. You're not running on the Dallas Cowboys anymore. Jalen Smith, that guy has become a beast. Vander Esch, the rookie that they brought in, they have filled in the gaps for Sean Lee, and that defense with their pass rush and relying on Byron Jones at the cornerback position, they are just straight up saying, we're going to come after you, and we think our secondary is going to be okay. And they are stopping people. What they did to Jacksonville last week was crazy. Blake Bortles looked really bad. Yeah. And I think if they get after Alex Smith, they can have the same kind of success So I like the defense there. I think they will stop AP. They haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher yet. I don't think AP gets it done here either. So
my only challenge is last week I'm pretty sure that I made it pretty clear that I was making fun of the Cowboys and that Elliott was the only offense that they had.
Yeah.
Rushing, receiving, everything. And if I read that if I read Jacksonville's defensive game plan incorrectly, let me know. But if I'm not mistaken, they seem to be selling out on containing yes. Elliott. They weren't going to let Elliott beat him, which let Dak scramble, let him find his receivers, and Dak was able to put up 40
yeah,
points.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is and that even in doing so, Zeke still rushed for 107 yards. So,
well, right, because then Jacksonville had to adjust, and that opened up some rushing lanes.
They definitely used.
So here I am calling the Washington Redskins a one-trick pony with AP. Are we concerned about Dallas selling out on keeping AP down, which gives Alex Smith, who isn't a horrible quarterback by any stretch on his own, can he pull something out of his hat and suddenly we've got a reverse here where Washington blows out Dallas?
I don't think that's the Cowboys' game plan. I don't think the Cowboys are focusing on one person. I think they're going to continue to play the kind of defense they do. It's just like, hey, look, we know we're pretty solid up front. You're not going to run us. Like, Jacksonville was actually stacking the box to try and stop Zeke. I don't think Dallas needs to do that to stop AP. So I don't see that happening.
No.
Guess what?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm with you. I agree. I'm going with Dallas as well.
You've got problems at home, my friend, because for the seventh straight time this season, Lady Edith is also on the Cowboys. So,
look, it's only going to be a problem if the Cowboys play the Packers and she picks the wrong way.
All right. There you go. Cowboys clean sweep all across the board. Final game of the week from Kansas City, the 5-1 Kansas City Chiefs host the 4-2 Cincinnati Bengals. All right, this is going to be an interesting game because Kansas City, let's see how they bounce back, right? They finally got their first loss. Not that they played horribly by any stretch of the imagination.
Right, they looked good even in the loss.
Especially because they had to come back on the road in New England. I mean, that was pretty impressive. Just to, you know, come back and be in that situation where it was a tight ball game with a couple minutes left. When Tyreek scored that touchdown, I was like, oh, you left Tom 3 minutes. Are you kidding me? I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Your defense hasn't been able to stop him all night. You left him 3 whole minutes. But anyways, I think they're only going to get better as their defense gets healthy. Like I said, they were in that game without their two best pass rushers and their starting safety, Eric Berry. So, they're still not going to be available for this game, but I don't think Andy Dalton can be compared to Tom Brady in any shape, way, or form.
Well, last week against the Steelers, Dalton looked really – I mean, his passing was on. He was hitting his receivers. If you watch that game, timing was right. He was getting the ball where it needed to be. Steelers' secondary was Velcro. I mean, they weren't letting the Bengals receivers get away with anything. So Dalton, he's got it. It's just, does he have anybody who's going to catch that ball? There were a lot of dropped passes against the Steelers for the Bengals. And from what I can see, they weren't on Dalton. He wasn't making tough passes where these receivers had to stretch for something. He was putting them right between the numbers.
Yeah, I think this game is really interesting because we're about to see if the Cincinnati Bengals are for real, right? They had a chance to lock down their division by beating the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I'm going to give kudos to them for coming back and taking the lead at the end of that game. I mean, they had, you know, they were down. Dalton drove them down the field. They scored the touchdown. They took the lead. Then, you know, the defense couldn't hold the Steelers and, you know, AB had that nice little touchdown run, and that was the end of that. So they got back into that game. Got to give them props for that. But they could have locked down that division and said, hey, look, we got early wins in the division. And had they beaten the Pittsburgh Steelers, they would have looked really good. They lost to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh now says, hey, man, we own you. What is that, like six straight now and nine out of the last 11 or something like that? And this is a situation now where they're going on the road, going up against a really great team, we are going to learn if the Cincinnati Bengals are for real or not. I don't think so. I like Kansas City to bounce back and get back to their winning ways. I like the Chiefs in this one.
Yep, I'm with you. I haven't seen anything yet to say that the Chiefs' offense is falling off. I've made my position clear. I think that at some point they will, but I haven't seen it happen yet. So until I see it happen, yeah, I'm with
all right,
Kansas City.
Lady Edith decides to be the contrarian in this game, and she's taking the Cincinnati Bengals. Wow, she likes the stripes, I guess. So that does
she
it
does.
For games of the week. So in our top games, you and I only differ on that one game, Panthers and Eagles. So let's move on to games of importance. We'll start with the Jacksonville Jaguars against the Houston Texans. Now, this is for the division right here. They're both 3-3. Looking up at the Tennessee Titans. Man, with the exception of the Colts, they're all 3-3. Tennessee's 3-3 as well. So they're not looking up at anybody. They're all looking sideways at each other. But I think, you know, since we both got the Chargers beating Tennessee, the winner of this game is going to be in sole division, first place in this game. I got Jacksonville. Jacksonville, they cannot follow up that performance against Dallas with another loss. Furthermore, they can't follow their last two games. They've given up 70 points in the last 2 weeks. And this was supposed to be the feared, vaunted Jaguars defense. They got to take care of business against a division rival. Deshaun Watson is really hurt. The Cowboys put a pounding on him 2 weeks ago. And you could see it. He was in physical pain last week against Buffalo. They escaped with Buffalo with a win. I don't think they go into Jacksonville and win this football game. I got the Jags. They'll take care of business.
Look, Bortles is clearly
off.
He's
Bortles.
Maybe he finds himself here in a couple of weeks, but right now I haven't seen anything yet. I mean, he looked horrible.
Yeah, and they're
week.
Clearly missing Leonard Fournette. The fact that he's not healthy and missed last week, Blake Bortles is okay if he has a running game that he can rely on, because they need the running game to open up his passing game. When they don't have that and it's just him passing, it's not really good. I'm going to say that they will do enough against Houston, because I just don't think Houston has the offensive power to take care of Jacksonville in Jacksonville.
Well, and 3 weeks ago, without question, I'd be taking Jacksonville here. But 70 points in 2 weeks. And I get Houston isn't what we've seen the last couple weeks in the Cowboys. Who did Jacksonville play 2 weeks ago?
Tennessee, right? No.
To go the other Tennessee.
Yeah, I think it was. I got to look it up. Yeah.
Yeah, whoever it was. Houston doesn't have that offense to really blow out this game like we saw
right.
The Cowboys do last week. But I got a lot of questions about that defense. What's wrong on that defense that they're not able to do what we expected them to be able to do? So I'm going, in this case, I'm going with Houston. I it's going to be close. I don't think Houston blows them out by any stretch.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I just don't see what we need to see out of the Jacksonville.
Yeah, so 2 weeks ago it was the Chiefs. The Chiefs scored 30 on them, and then the Cowboys scored 40 on them. So it was and you got to
– Well, the Chiefs you understand, but Dallas, I mean, Dallas hadn't shown 40 points yet. They hadn't even – up until last week, Dallas hadn't even showed the capability to put 40 points on the board against anyone, let alone Jacksonville.
I think the craziness here is when you look at the Jacksonville Jaguars, I think what a lot of people are still seeing is that week two beatdown of the Patriots. Right? You beat the Patriots 31-20, and you're like, oh, man, that was impressive, okay? Because that's the defending AFC representative, and they came down to our home, and we took care of them handedly. And, you know, they put 31 up on the Jets. Okay, you know, the Jets, we still don't really know what we got there. But you lose 9-6 to Tennessee at home. And then in back-to-back weeks, you give up 30 to the Chiefs and 40 to the Cowboys. Yeah, you start questioning a little bit, but I'm still looking at that. I see the team that was able to knock off Tom Brady 31-20. I think they're going to, you know, maybe settle down that defense a little bit, make it a little bit less complex. I think they're going to get after Deshaun Watson. I think they turn it around here this week. So I got the Jags. And Lady Edith also has the Jaguars. She agrees with me. So we're just waiting on you, but.
Yeah, well, I'm go for the Texans. I think they pull this one out close.
All right, there you go. Steve going out on his own to take the Houston Texans on the road. All right, our final game of importance. We have the 3-3 New York Jets hosting the 3-2-1 Minnesota Vikings. All right, folks, if you kind of like don't have Steve coming in immediately, it may be because he's a little concerned with his Milwaukee Brewers, who are in game 4 of the NLCS. It's tied 1-1 in the top of the ninth. They got a runner on first base with no outs. Yeah, we're kind of looking at it as we're recording the show, so don't worry about it. Steve?
If I'm half paying attention, right. I apologize.
Vikings, but. Jets, who you got and why?
So I think if you're a Vikings fan, you're really happy to see that the Jets had two big weeks in a row. Because we saw what happened when the Vikings kind of seemed to take a break and they got beat up by the Bills unexpectedly. But I think the Jets have looked strong enough that Minnesota's not going to make that same mistake with the Bills.
You can't come into this.
I think Minnesota remains strong. They remain, really good both on offense and defense. I haven't seen anything to get terribly concerned with yet. I think they get after Darnold, and I think we see Minnesota pull this one out on the road.
Yeah, I think Minnesota is also getting healthy, and I just think they're, like you said, they're going to get after that rookie QB, and they'll take care of business. I still don't think the Jets are as explosive as they've been in the last couple of weeks. Of course, they can make a believer out of me if they take care of Minnesota at home, but I think Minnesota goes on the road and gets the win. And this is a clean sweep for Minnesota because Lady Edith also is taking the Vikings. All right, two games of interest before we get to our nap games. And actually, really, is only one game of interest because the other game of interest is only because it's Monday Night Football. It's the only reason it's there. But the 2-3-1 Cleveland Browns travel to Tampa Bay to face the Buccaneers. Look, I think Jameis Winston is back. He actually played really well against Atlanta, well enough that they should have won that football game. One piece of news that we didn't go through earlier in the show, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers fired defensive coordinator Mike Smith. I think part of that was like, look, he was the head coach for the Atlanta Falcons for a while. He knows that team pretty well, and he gave up 34 points to them. So, look, we've been, I don't know how many they gave up to the Steelers. They bunched there, bunched the Saints. The defense obviously needs to get corrected. They're giving up way too many points. So they fired Mike Smith. Plus, I think Jameis Winston's now back in the helm of that football team. Tampa Bay has to right the ship. They do it here at home by taking care of the Cleveland Browns.
And I think really last week we saw Mayfield. I mentioned it earlier, when he was under pressure, when he was rushed and had to make a decision, when he had to check down to a second receiver, you could tell he's a rookie. You could tell he had some struggles. But when he had his timing on, he could hit his first receiver. He still looks really, really strong. I don't know that the Buccaneers are going to be able to get that defense teed up to go against him. I think it could likely be another close one. I mean, what we've had, the Browns have been in 3-4 overtime games already this year.
It's going to be close.
It could be another one of those.
It will be close.
Yeah. But I think the Browns' defense gets to Tampa Bay more than Tampa Bay's defense gets to the Browns. So I've got the Browns pulling this one out.
Yeah, I just like the Bucs. I think, look, here they've given up 40 to the Saints. They've given up 30 to the Steelers, 48 to the Bears, 34 to the Falcons. Yeah, the Browns don't have that kind of offense that are going to put up that many points. And I think that in all of those games, they gave up 40 to the Saints, but they won the game by putting up 48. They lost to the Steelers 30-27, so they had some points there. 34-29 last week to Atlanta. So they've been in every game. They've put up points in every game. They can't put up points. I'm not sure the Browns will be able to match, you know, keep up with. If it gets into a shootout, I don't think the Browns can keep up, you know, toe-to-toe with the Buccaneers. That's why I like the Bucs. And I think here's right. where you got your real problem, Steve. Lady Edith picking the Pirates and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers over the Browns. Up until this point, she had taken the Browns every week.
But she had taken the Buccaneers,
that's
too.
So, but
she had to make a decision
Pirates
here.
Pirates more than the Browns.
She did. It was a hard decision for her.
She ended up going
with the Buccaneers.
Guys. Hopefully the Bucs will do that. Because I've got the Bucs as well. You're all alone with the Browns. That's three games, sir. Three games that we differ on. Moving on to the final game of interest, the New York Giants at 1-5 travel to the Atlanta to face the Atlanta Falcons at 2-4. Stephen, why is this a game of interest? Because it's Monday Night Football. It's the only game that's going to be on. You're going to be watching that. Look, I didn't make Thursday Night Football a game of interest. I was going to. But it's 2-4 Broncos at 1-5 Cardinals. I'm sorry. I don't care that it's the only game around. It's a nap game. So I'm not going to put Monday Night Football as a nap game. Giants, Falcons. I've got Atlanta only because the Giants are in disarray. They're in shambles. Happy Feet isn't even Happy Feet anymore. He can't even get around in the pocket. He's not even dancing around. He can't make the throws. He is not mobile enough. Atlanta's going to get after him, and OBJ might implode by halftime.
Yep, I agree. I'm still questioning exactly why the Falcons are 2-4. They've had some tough competition. I get it. They're at home. Giants, I don't see anything in the Giants being able to pull this one off. So I'm with you that that Atlanta pulls this
one
out
at
home.
We both have the Falcons. Lady Edith going out on a limb, a big limb, by taking the New York Giants.
Big limb.
She's all on her own there. Okay, nap games real quickly as we've passed the one-hour mark. Denver at Arizona, 2-4 at 1-5, Thursday Night Football. I may not even watch. I may not rush home to watch this one. What you got?
I've got the Broncos. I haven't seen anything out of the Cardinals yet. That Broncos defense was definitely in that game last week. They held the Rams, what, to 23? So their defense isn't horrible, and Arizona just – they're not there. So, yeah,
but
Denver
John
pulls
Elway
this one out.
John Elway called the defense soft, and that made Von Miller mad, saying we are going to kick the beep out of the Arizona Cardinals. So,
yeah, I mean, the only challenge is Keenum isn't going to be able – you haven't been able to see him improvise. Once protection breaks down and he has to scramble, once he can't find a receiver in his first one or two looks – I mean, he just falls apart completely.
All right, so you and I have the Broncos. Lady Edith still liking that red bird and taking the Arizona Cardinals. The Buffalo Bills at Indianapolis Colts. I've got Indianapolis. I can't really trust Buffalo. I mean, they're starting Peterman.
Allen is
hurt. He's going to miss the next.
Have they said they're actually starting Peterman over
that
Anderson?
I do not know. I'm guessing they're starting Peterman.
I think we're all assuming they're going with Peterman, and apparently Buffalo is the Buffalo front office is the only group of people that think Peterman has any talent.
Well, he clearly lost the game for him last weekend, right? It was a 13-13 tie, and back-to-back picks, including the pick six, lost them the football game.
And I get he's young. He's, what, his second year?
Still. He should have never been drafted.
You should be expecting to see some improvement at this point. And we're just not seeing it out of Peterman.
So I've got the Colts.
Until Buffalo figures out a quarterback, I'm going to have a hard time going with it.
You've got the Colts, but Lady Edith all alone with her Buffalo Bills. All right, the Detroit Lions travel to Miami to face the Dolphins. After what I saw last week from the Dolphins, I don't care if it's Tannehill or Brocktober. I've got Miami to win at home. We got to start looking at – look, outside of that debacle that was the game they played against the New England Patriots, Miami has been in every single football game, and they're 4-2.
They have, yep.
I got to like them at home. I gave them no chance against Chicago. Gave them no chance. And, quite frankly, you saw what they did. So, I don't think Detroit's going to go on the road on grass, because they are a fast team. Turf in domes, you know, turf, they're all right. This is grass field. This is live. I'm going to have to take Miami there to get the win.
Yeah, and I'm seeing their wins against New England and Green Bay for the Lions. I think they're finally started to find something that resembles some team unity there. I think they're going to go on the road and win it. I mean, there's really no justification there. I can't disagree. Miami still looks really strong.
So is this one of your cuts?
But I'm going with the Lions.
So I'm.
This
going,
is, and I'm definitely
so
not making
I'm
it the challenge
you
game.
As your friend, this is probably not one of the games you want to make a challenge game.
Yep, it will not
okay,
be the challenge.
Lady Edith is on my side. She also has the Miami Dolphins. You are all alone there with the Lions, buddy. All right, the final nap game, the 7-0 Rams against the 1-5 49ers. And if this isn't a blowout, I'm going to start questioning the Rams a little bit, but it's going to be a blowout. I got the Rams. You got the Rams. But interestingly enough, Lady Edith takes the 49ers.
I think she made her pick while watching Monday Night Football. I don't know how on earth that Packers defense gave up, 20 points?
Yeah,
21 points to the 49ers, whatever it was. It was an embarrassment. So, I don't know. I'm with you. I see no reason why the Rams don't pull this one out in pretty big, spectacular fashion, but I felt the same way that, you know, I think last week when I was picking the Packers to win Monday Night Football, I said there's no reason that I can even think to pick the 49ers, so I'm going to go with the Packers, but not because I'm excited about the Packers. Yeah, I'm excited about the Rams, so I think the Rams
pull this one out. Yeah, I'm excited about the Rams, too. So we are both on the Rams. Lady Edith has the 49ers. So it's to you, sir. There's four games that we differ on. Panthers, Eagles. I've got Carolina on the road. You've got Philly at home. Texans, Jaguars. I've got Jaguars at home. You've got the Texans on the road. Dolphins, Lions. I've got the Dolphins at home. You've got the Lions on the road. And then finally, Cleveland at Tampa Bay. I've got the Bucks at home while you've got the Browns on the road. Your call.
So in all four of these games, I'm on an island by myself.
Because Lady Edith is a smart cookie. She's with me.
And the only thing I can go with is the only home team I've got there is the Eagles over the Panthers. Probably a bad pick on my part, but that's 3 weeks in a row I've probably made some bad picks. But I'm going to go with the home team. I'm going to take the Eagles-Panthers as the
home
challenge game.
Home team, Eagles-Panthers as the challenge game. I am knocking it in. There you go. Expect a good week. Remember, the lock is the Saints. Take the 2.5 points and watch the Saints win the game outright. That's all the time we got. Thank you for listening. Steve, be careful. Stay warm. Get a blanket or something.
Yeah, I've got the fireplace going. It's great.
All right. You've been listening to Steve Miranda.
Steve Fry.
For NFL Rants and Raves. We're out.